Letters from Home, a podcast from the St. Paul Center.
Hi, I'm Dr. Scott Hahn, and I want to invite you to register for our newest video study, premiering this coming Ash Wednesday, February 22nd, entitled Holy is His Name. To register for free streaming this Lent, go to stpaulcenter.com/holystudy.
Greetings. This is Dr. Shane Owens with the St. Paul Center and the Letters from Home podcast. Today, we'll be discussing the readings of the Tuesday of the second week of Ordinary Time, in particular, our first reading taken from the sixth chapter of the Epistle to Hebrews. We'll begin with these verses. Quote, "So when God wanted to give the heirs of his promise an even clearer demonstration of the immutability of his purpose, he intervened with an oath, so that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge might be strongly encouraged to hold fast to the hope that lies before us." In these verses from Hebrews 6, we have our themes for the day, and maybe we'd identify these as threefold: the immutability of God's purpose, the unchangingness of his will. That's the first. The second, that we should be strongly encouraged. And third, that we should hold fast to the hope that lies before us. So the first, the unchangingness of God's will, the immutability of his purpose. To whom is God demonstrating this unchangingness? In the context of our text taken from Hebrews chapter 6, the first person to whom he is demonstrating this is our patriarch Abraham. The second is the heirs of the promise, that is us, the church, the people of God. Why does Abraham need this reassurance? Well, in the context that St. Paul, if he is the author of Hebrews or the author of Hebrews, is speaking about in Hebrews, it's about Abraham offering Isaac. This offering of Isaac, known as the Akedah, the binding of Isaac in Genesis 22, seems to conflict with the promise God has made to Abraham that he would have prodigious progeny, many children as numerous as the stars or the grains of sand on the seashore. Yet, the author of Hebrews reassures us in Hebrews 11:19 that despite the fact that Isaac may have died in this offering, quote, he reasoned that God was able to raise even from the dead, and he received Isaac back as a symbol, end quote. So Abraham believed that the promises would be fulfilled even if it meant Isaac must be resurrected from the dead. And so Abraham needed something that would reassure him that God's will was unchanging. So there's something twofold here that is expressed in Hebrews 6. One, God himself is unchanging. His will and his purpose cannot change. Also, he swears, and not by something else, he swears by himself. For when we swear, we have to swear by something greater than us. God can't swear by anything greater than himself, so he can only swear by himself. So he swears by himself. Since God can neither lie nor can he change, there's kind of a double layering of this is unchanging. God's word is unchanging and he is unchanging. Take hope, hold fast, be encouraged, Abraham. You may ask yourself, what do we make of this oath? Since Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount seems to discourage oath-taking if we look at Matthew 5, the opening chapter of the Sermon on the Mount. But Jesus specifically says, do not swear falsely. And I think that word falsely is the key word. When we as human beings swear, we swear by something greater. In Matthew 5, Jesus speaks about heaven, the throne of God, earth, Jerusalem, these things, right? And that the danger in swearing to these things is that we may be false, because unlike God, we are unchanging and our word is sometimes not always truthful. We do lie, or we go back on a word that we didn't ever intend it to lie, but we may just not follow through on it, which is why when we make an oath in a courtroom, which is fitting, we're saying, so help me, God, meaning, God, give me the grace to tell the truth and keep the truth before me, but also, so help me, God, if I were to break this, for there's a punishment, do me. So again, oaths are fitting if you can do them without doing so falsely. And certainly God is not false. So the encouragement to Abraham. What about the encouragement to us? That is the heirs of the promise, the church, the people of God. If we jump to the very end of the Epistle to Hebrews and the closing sentences, the author of Hebrews says the following. I appeal to you, brethren, bear with my word of exhortation. which could also be translated as encouragement. Paul wants us to be encouraged, to be exhorted, to hold fast our confidence in the pride and our hope, to know that we have an anchor for our soul that is sure and firm. And so it's this theme, this encouragement, this hopefulness, that will take up the rest of our reflection. It's not just for Abraham, it is for us. The author of Hebrews presents us with three models of obedience in the first half of the Epistle to Hebrews. That is Moses, Abraham, and Jesus. In today's reading, we read about Abraham, quote, "And so, after patient waiting, Abraham obtained the promise," end quote. This could also be rendered long-suffering or patient endurance. Abraham was elderly, waiting for any child of his own, ultimately for Isaac's conception and birth. He had to leave his homeland and follow God. He had his own family disagreements with Lot and the winding story that we learn about from Genesis 12 to 22, including Sodom and Gomorrah, etc. Indeed, the offering of Isaac is the greatest example of this sacrifice, the long-suffering and the patient waiting of Abraham for God to intervene in some way. As Abraham kept reminding Isaac, God himself will provide the lamb. So Abraham, a model of faith and obedience. If we go back before today's reading from Hebrews 6 to Hebrews 3, we can look at the model of Moses. Moses is described in Hebrews 3 as the faithful in God's house. Jesus, the author of Hebrews tells us, is all the more worthy of honor and glory. Jesus is faithful to his call as an apostle. It's interesting to get this word apostle. It's the only place Jesus is described as an apostle in the New Testament. He's the one who's sent to bring the Father's word, and he's the high priest, and he is a faithful high priest. Jesus is superior to Moses, the author of Hebrews tells us, in the same way that a builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. Jesus is the son of the builder and contributed to the building himself, and not simply the house. This is also the difference between a son and a servant. At the end of this Hebrew 3 text, the author of Hebrews says something that's strikingly similar to today's text from Hebrews 6. So Hebrews 3 says, "We are his house if we hold fast our confidence and pride and our hope." So we get this idea again of holding fast and hope. Taken from today's Hebrews 6 reading, we see these similar ideas of we who have taken refuge might be strongly encouraged to hold fast to the hope that lies before us. We're seeing a web of themes here with Abraham and Moses and Jesus. If we look at Hebrews 5, just one chapter before today's text, we hear again of Jesus' obedience. Although he was a son, and we could say bracket and not a servant like Moses or Abraham, although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. In being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all obey him, being designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, end quote. Now, Jesus does not learn in a factual way like we do, for from the moment of his conception, he possessed the beatific vision and knew things by prophetic infusion in his human intellect. But he could learn by experience, because God does not have a body to experience things as a human does. And so through his suffering and his passion, he experienced and learned in a different sort of way, not available to God. But we see the obedience of the Son, and the Son is an example of hope through it all, trusting in the resurrection that is promised and that Jesus promises again and again when he prophesies about his passion. We see here a web in Hebrews, whether it's Hebrews 3, Hebrews 5, Hebrews 6, a web of obedience, suffering, sonship, priesthood. If we can look at the final lines of our Hebrews 6 text from today, we'll see a web, a layering of metaphors. This we have as an anchor of the soul, sure and firm, which reaches into the interior behind the veil where Jesus has entered on our behalf as forerunner, becoming high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. So we have several images here. The first is of an anchor. Often the symbol for hope used in Christian iconography is of an anchor. This anchor is sure and firm. The word here used in Greek is asphaleis, like the asphalt, right? The sure and firm, the solid truth of Jesus that is reliable, this hope we have in Jesus. But then the image is mixed. We then move into the second image, that this anchor we have has entered into the interior behind a veil. Now heaven is a temple, and Jesus is the forerunner, the high priest who's entered behind the veil into the Holy of Holies in heaven on our behalf. And ultimately, When we see these two images combined, maybe what we should imagine for ourselves is that Christ is like an anchor that has been placed behind the veil in the Holy of Holies. And there's a rope going back from him. We are attached to that rope, and we should pull ourselves by that rope towards that anchor so we too can enter into the Holy of Holies of heaven, this heavenly temple to worship the Father for all eternity. We should imagine ourselves secure to the anchor of Christ and the veil. You also notice in the words of Hebrews 6 that it says that Jesus has entered on our behalf. On our behalf. This is striking. This part of being a priest is being a mediator, and he is the ultimate and faithful high priest. We see in the words of the Nicene Creed, which we recite at Mass, twice this language of being on behalf, of being a mediator. One is, for us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. So the incarnation, this taking flesh in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary, is for us. Or later in the Creed, for our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried and rose again on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. So now hear the Paschal mystery again for our sake, on our behalf, in the words of Hebrews. So Christ is priest. Ultimately, Paul will turn to this idea of what it means to be in the order of Melchizedek in Hebrews 7, and we can talk about that at a later time. But maybe a last image I'll leave you with is taken from a children's book I've been reading with my son. It's about light ships. I'd never heard about them. So many of us may be familiar with lighthouses, right, that help ships avoid precarious places or find safe harbor. But light ships are boats that basically function like a lighthouse. And they have to be used in waters that are too deep or too rough to construct a lighthouse. And they're held to the bottom of the sea where they are by nothing more than an anchor. And they are jostled about in the waves and there so that all can find safe harbor. A noble endeavor, undoubtedly. And perhaps we can think of this image as something like what Christ is providing for us. The waters are too deep at times, and the things of the world do not seem to be able to secure us. But we have an anchor, and this anchor is deep into the sea and buried, and that anchor will hold us strong. And like that anchor, with that anchor holding us, we can be like a lightship, that we can be like our high priest Jesus, like this apostle sent from the Father, and we can offer ourselves in mediation on the behalf of others, for the sake of others. And so, with ourselves, draw them behind the veil to the anchor, Jesus Christ in heaven. And this is the hope we have in Jesus, and this is the hope that should encourage us. This has been Dr. Shane Owens with the St. Paul Center and your Letters from Home podcast. May God give you his peace.
Thank you for listening to Letters from Home, the Scripture Reflections podcast from the St. Paul Center. Listen daily with reflections from Dr. Scott Hahn, Dr. John Bergsma, Dr. Shane Owens, Ms. Joan Watson, and Mr. Clement Harold. Our production team includes Technical Director Rory Mitrick and producers Olivia Mosier and Joseph Palmer. Our mission at the St. Paul Center is to help you read Scripture from the heart of the Church. Subscribe and share Letters from Home, as well as Dr. Scott Hahn's podcast, The Road to Emmaus, and Mrs. Kimberly Hahn's podcast, Beloved and Blessed. For more faith-based resources, books, and Bible studies, visit stpaulcenter.com.